All right. Thank you, Leah. Don't ever get too far from the truth of the cross. Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians, our text is going to be short. That does not necessarily mean the message is going to be short. But we'll start off that way. And I'll ask you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I may refer to a number of other verses in the chapter, but I want to just read one and start off with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Sometimes I realize we maybe give more than can be digested, and sometimes we might be better off, and I'm talking somewhat to these young preachers on the front row down here. Sometimes you're better off to give a little bit and get it understood than you are to give too much and none of it's understood. Sometimes that is a fault we preachers have. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, of course the Apostle Paul talking. Pick it up with me in verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now the word expedient there basically means profitable. So I want you to think about it a little bit. All things are lawful. He's talking about as a believer, as a Christian, talking about under grace. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now understand, there's some things that are lawful that you still don't want to be addicted to or under the power of. You following what I'm saying there? I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I'm going to give it a title of collateral damage. Say, what in the world could that be? Do you understand what collateral damage is when you shoot at one thing and hit another you didn't intend to? I've got two distant cousins. I think they might still be alive up in Georgia, but I remember when we were in grammar school, those cousins never got along. They were often getting in fist fights. And in a country school like that, it wasn't the crime it is today. But anyway, I remember one time at lunchtime, and we had long lunch times because the teachers had to cook the meal and wash the dishes. That's the truth. And in the grammar school we went to. And I remember these boys got cross with each other. Leon had a bad temper anyway. And he and Robert were fighting. I mean, they were, and you know how we used to do? We'd get in a circle around them, remember? Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? If you saw a circle, something good was happening on the inside, remember? Yeah. And we had a circle, and they were in the middle tearing it up. But Robert's mother, which was a fairly short lady, did some substitute teaching, and she came out there and saw Robert in the middle. And she rushed in to rescue her son. Now, as she come up behind Robert to grab him, Leon made a haymaker. Wow! And Robert ducked. He was a good ducker. He ducked, and his mother got it right side the jaw. I mean, a big one. I remember her crying and running back in. Next time I saw her jaw was out like this. Let me tell you what that was. That was collateral damage. You know what I'm saying? That was something that ricocheted off. It wasn't intended. Leon certainly didn't want to hit her, but now don't ask me what happened to him, because when the principal came out, business picked up. The principal had a board about that long, and she was a big lady, and she had a purpose to life, and that was to take care of you when you got in trouble, and she did very well. Well, collateral damage I want to talk to you about. Now, the text here, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems. You understand that? A lot of folks build doctrines on what Paul was writing to the church at Corinth to correct. Sonia and I were taking, I guess we were coming back from West Virginia not long ago, and out there in the country somewhere I saw a sign, and it said Corinth Baptist Church. I thought, at least they're honest. Got a lot of problems. I don't believe I'd choose that name, But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And so Paul is writing here to Corinth, but he's saying something that I don't know if they got a hold of it. See, a lot of them were fussing. That's why he wrote the letter to them to start with. He'd already heard a message about some of the turmoil inside, and he was correcting them on everything from the Lord's Supper on and all kind of stuff. And he's writing to them here, but now he's telling them all things are lawful for me, but they're not profitable. They're not expedient is what he's saying to them here. He's saying, it may be legal, and I'm talking about scripturally legal, but it's not the best, is what he's saying. And he's talking about how side damage can be done. Now, when we think about collateral damage, we think about war. The problem right now, and if you saw any of the news, I mean, North Korea is claiming it's got the big bomb now, the hydrogen bomb. I don't know. But I will say this, it's interesting times, folks. Nuclear war is closer than it's been in many, many years. And the Atomic Magazine, you know what I'm talking about? I've preached on that before. The hands were about 5 minutes to midnight a few months ago. I wonder how close they are now. And that's the scientists, not preachers, telling us that nuclear war is a dangerous thing and it's very close. And we're having the worst relationship with Russia and with China and all the rest of this business. And I'll just make a little prediction. If they do fire a nuclear weapon, then, brother, it's going to be all kind of trouble break out. But you know, America's kind of got a moral restraint because of our Christian background. We don't want collateral damage. We don't want to nuke a nation like North Korea and kill all the folks that basically are prisoners there anyway. Give them a chance, they'd like to get out. And we understand that. So we have a restraint, a godly restraint. But you fellas that have been in the military and been overseas, you know there's some of these nations that have no moral restraint. And you know that if a place like this little fat boy in Korea gets a hold of the trigger, he's going to pull it. He's got no restraint on him. No moral restraint. They don't care. Life is cheap. You know what I'm talking about? Very true. So it is dangerous times. Say, what do y'all do about it? First, better be saved. Better be ready. Amen. There's real hate in this world. I mean, satanic hate. It's not only in a place like Korea, but we got it even in America. I mean, I've never seen so much hate in our political system as we've got today. To the place we got folks. We got folks that rather than lose their power, they'd destroy the whole nation. They'd bring the whole nation down. That's collateral damage. I mean, they'd destroy the good of America just to have their way. And we're hearing about that, and we're seeing that all the time. And that's too bad. And I tell you, the hate against Israel is coming out to the top and being apparent like I've never seen it before, too. That tells me Israel is a burdensome stone to those that are messing with it. That's what the Bible says. And the sad truth is that they're messing with God. They're messing with the apple of his eye, as it were. And he's not going to put up with it. And the time is going to come that he's going to move. But talk about collateral damage. As you read the Bible, there's going to be some collateral damage when these wars do break loose. No doubt. No doubt about it. But I want to move off of that point a little bit and go to this. And this will be more to us tonight. And won't be so exciting, but maybe it'll help some of us. I want to apply this Bible truth, and I want to use some Bible examples. Now, this is a kind of an abstract truth. You don't get it right up front, and a lot of folks wouldn't quite understand what that verse means. All things is lawful. I'll not be brought on the power of any. All things are lawful, but not expedient. In other words, he's saying, I can do it even scripturally, legally. It's my right to do it, but it may be the wrong thing to do. And it won't bring the favor of God upon it if it is the wrong thing, even though it might be legally right to do it. For instance, you have Paul being asked the question and giving his answer over here in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. In fact, flip over there. I believe it is chapter 8. Flip over there, and Paul has been asked the question, what about the meat that's been offered to the idols? And did the Christians have a right? I mean, they could buy it cheaper. I mean, after it had been offered to the idols, by the way, it's kind of interesting, the idols didn't eat it, right? But you could buy it cheaper because it was a little bit older, I guess. And you can buy it cheaper. So now the Christian's question was, can I go buy it down and buy that that's on sale, that that is cheaper, that that's been offered to the idols? And the question is that the right thing to do since that's meat that's been offered to a false god? That was their question to Paul. And notice what Paul says. He said, yeah, it's legal to do it. But look at it in chapter 8. Pick it up in he tells them first it's legal down in verse 7. Howbeit, here it changes across the street a little bit. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge that they had the grace to do it. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto the idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But he says in verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat nor are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Reality, truth, makes no difference. But look at the next word, B-U-T, cross the street, opposite truth. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours, your freedom, you're legal to do it, the liberty of yours become a what? A stumbling block to them that are weak. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying while it's scripturally okay, while it's legally okay, he's saying for conscience sake of the weak brother that thinks it's wrong, why don't you just abstain from it? He later says, you know, that he'll abstain from it. He won't eat it. And now what's he doing? He had the right to, but he's given up that right because you don't offend somebody that thinks he's wrong to do it. I don't know if you're getting a hold of that or not, but we'll run that some other ways here in a minute. But the truth of the matter is, all of us could take a big lesson from that. Sometime, to incur the favor of God and do the right thing, you have to give up your rights. Yeah. And that's a hard thing on the old flesh to do. Sure it is. But oftentimes, if you want God's favor, that's the right thing to do. For instance, in this same chapter, chapter 6 here, pick it back up, we're in verse 6. Paul is rebuking them now, like he does so much here through the epistle to the Corinthians. He speaks to their shame down in verse 6. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before who? The unbelievers. Okay, they have a legal right to go to court with each other, yeah. But to do that in front of unbelievers is a terrible testimony, and it shouldn't be done. You understand what he's saying? He said you ought to give up your right for testimony's sake. For the collateral damage it's going to do, testimony-wise, you ought to give up the right. And that's a little hard for the flesh to do, but it's the right thing. In a practical sense, I've had it happen church-wise. I'll tell you a little story. Maybe I won't tell you too many, but I'll tell you this one. Many of you folks live over here in the what we call the Landmark Baptist Village. Well, when we came here, that was an old used-up orange grove. It was an old dead-looking orange grove. I knew the man vaguely. I went to school with his son that owned it. We were about to build. We were in the little building over here. We needed to build. We needed room. And so the truth was that we went over there, and I got in touch with the man. He didn't even have it for sale, but he and I agreed on a price, and it was a low price for us. It was a good one. And we were going to buy the whole acreage over there, and this building here would have sat over there where the village is. We were dealing with a real estate lady that was in our church, a good church member. And everything was down, ready to go. And the contracts had been drawn up, and everything had been made right. And this building was supposed to go over there. And the man who owned the property took it to his lawyer. Now, this has been enough years ago, I don't think you can figure out who's done what. And I won't tell you any more that you can figure it up, but I'm just tell you enough for you to know. He took it to his lawyer. His lawyer looked at it and said, oh, you're selling this too cheap. And he said, I can get you more than that. And he talked the man in to letting him, the lawyer, sell it to one of his kin. That was a dirty trick. The real estate lady came back to me. She was mad, but she was almost crying. She said, this can't be. She said, this is wrong. This could not happen this way. And she said to me, she said, preacher, you got a right to go to court. You got a right to sue. You got a right to deal with this. And I said, no, the brother that owns the property, I think he's been misled, but he's a believer. He's a Christian. I'm not going to court with him. I had a deacon's meeting that night down in the old building. I didn't have a church office. We knocked every petition out, including the church office. We had a little baptismal room, like going through that door right there. And I'd put a little bit of a desk in there, but that's where the baptismal robes hung. And on that particular Sunday night, I had a deacon's meeting, and I remember those old robes, the old-fashioned ones, the ones that soaked up water. And they were hanging there. We had baptism, and water was puddling down, hitting the floor. And I had the deacons come in and meet with me in there. And I had to show them the paperwork and tell them we'd been shot out of the saddle, we'd been mistreated, and that the attorney on our side was recommending to go to law. And I remember saying this to the deacons, I'm not going to do it. We got the right, but I'm not going to do it. I said, this fellow didn't do it to us. He did it unto God. And I'm going to turn it over to God. Now, I didn't premeditate to say that. That's what I said. We prayed about it. I told him I wouldn't go to court. But I also made a prediction just off the top of my head. I said, he did it unto God. I predict they'll never build over there. It'll never profit them any. And you know what? It just kept sitting there. In fact, that was when Jimmy Carter was president. Some of you might remember back then, and gas prices started going up for the first time. I mean, great day. All of a sudden, they hit 50 cents a gallon. We didn't know what we were going to do to run the buses. Next thing you know, it was 75 and finally a dollar, and we were all threatening to get horses by that time. That was a recession. Car lines around these service stations waiting to top off their tanks. Anybody remember that? Yeah. And the fellow that got the land couldn't build on it. And he couldn't build on it. Well, we moved this direction. We wound up getting the property where we're at now. We even wound up getting across the street over where the gym is and the day school is. I mean, some time went on. And one day the secretary buzzed me and she said, Pastor, said there's a lady out here in the office and she wants to see you. She says she don't know you and you don't know her, but she wants to see you. And I said, okay. This lady come in and she looked a little bit like the first sergeant. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, she fairly good sized lady. And she was very outspoken. She come in, looked at my dinky little office, and she said, this big church and this is what they give you for an office? That's the way she greeted me. I thought, boy, I'm in for it, starting off like that. And I said, yeah, they mistreat me around here, you know. Anyway, she sat down there and we started talking. And she said, I own the property across the street. 12 acres is what it is, folks in the village. That's what it originally was, 12 acres. I didn't know that. It just been sitting there. Nobody touched it. Just still looking that way now. Just an old dead grove. And she said, I own the property over there. And she said, I think the church ought to have it. I said, well, ma'am, we've already built a building. We're already in debt. We couldn't incur any more debt. She said, I just think the church ought to have it. So these builders are all wanting it. I wanted to ask her how you got it, but I was afraid to. I didn't understand. She kept talked around. I just think the church ought to have it. I said, well, we just couldn't afford it. She said, well, could you pay taxes on it this year? I said, how much is the taxes? She said, $250. I said, yeah, we could pay that. To shorten up the story, she signed it over to us. And we paid the taxes that was still outstanding on it. So you folks in the village, I want to tell you why you're over there. God did something. We got mistreated, and then God took care of it. Sometimes you can give up your rights and you're better off when the favor of God smiles on you because you were willing to give up something that you might have legally had a right to have. Are you following me? I hope you are. This thing of going to court with your brother, that was what was in the context right here. And it's not a good thing to do, because you'll do it before unbelievers and it'll blow the testimony. And so even though you might have the right to, you ought to really hardly do it if you can find some other way not to. Oh, I've had more than one time. I had a good brother here in the church. He knew he was going to die. He was in the hospital. He made out his will. And to leave the church the biggest portion of his estate. And of course, I was in the hospital to see him. He did all that. He had an attorney in there. Then he brought his son and daughter down from out of state. He brought them in the hospital room and he told them what he was going to do and how much he was dividing between the boy and the girl and the church. And he explained it all. And they said, okay, daddy, okay. Until he died. And then the story switched. I mean, he hadn't hardly gotten cold before they went to a lawyer to break the will. And they broke it. And our attorney said, you can't let them do this. You gotta go to court. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. It's going to look like I'm fighting some widow woman. And she's a Christian, though she had no part in it. It was the son and daughter doing it. You said, well, you were wrong. No, I wasn't. In the long run, God blessed. Sometimes you have to give up your rights. It's not expedient. It's not profitable, even though it's lawful. That's what the text is saying. And it's kind of hard to get a hold of. How about going through the Bible and picking out some characters like this? How about the story of King David? You remember over in 1 Samuel 24, King David's out there running out there in Engedi. You can go over there now and see that same area. And he was out there hiding in the caves. And Saul got several thousand of his troops. And he was chasing David. He was jealous of David. He wanted to kill David. Remember the story? And you remember how, of all things, David and his men have gone in this cave. And they're hiding along the sides. And of all things, Saul camps out and goes in the cave to take a nap. Anybody ever read the Bible? Remember that? Yeah. And you know what David's men said to him? Said, well, God's delivered him into your hand. Go out there and kill him. This is of God. But David wouldn't do it, remember? Now, he had the lawful right to. It'd have been okay to do it. It did look like God had delivered his enemy, the man that was going to kill him. There he is asleep. You can go out and cut his throat right now. But David said, I won't touch the Lord's anointed. And he went out and cut off a piece of his robe. And when Saul woke up and went outside, then David goes outside and hollers at him and shows him, I could have cut your throat just as easy as I cut this piece of robe. And even Saul cried back at David and told him, you're more righteous than I. See, David had a little thing with God that went a little deeper. I think that really pleased the Lord. David had the right to, but he didn't claim it. It was still in his mind been the wrong thing. So he made a little covenant between him and God, and he spared Saul. And you know what? God took care of Saul later, didn't he? Yeah. He let the other enemies of Israel take care of Saul. David didn't have to kill him. And David was elevated to king. David had a special walk with God. He went a little bit deeper. I want to say to you, as a believer, you and I can get a little closer, have a little personal thing with God, and sometime give up our rights, and in so doing, gain the favor of God on what we've done. You remember when David was camped out, and the Philistines was down in Bethlehem, and David was up there, and a few men in the rocks hiding, and he was thirsty, and he just kind of spoke what he felt, and he said, oh, I wish I had a drink from the well of Bethlehem. And three of his men took off and went down there at the risk of their life and brought him back water from the well of Bethlehem. Remember that story? And then, of all things, David wouldn't drink it, but he poured it out unto the Lord. That's going a little deeper, folks. That's getting right in there close to the heart of God. A little something special between him and the Lord. And I say that you and I can have that. I hope that you have. I hope in some ways that you do. And something maybe you can't even talk to your wife about, or your husband about, or maybe your pastor about, but some little thing, little covenant you've made with God deep inside. And Lord, I'll take the wrong, I'll get misjudged. I won't fight back. I'll just surrender my rights and let somebody else have my rights. And I believe when you do that, that you curry in favor with God. That might even apply to some of your dorm room partners. Just meddling a little bit there. Give up some of your rights. You say, well, they just keep taking advantage, but they might be heaping coals of fire on their head. Have you ever read that in the Bible? Lady went to her pastor and said, my husband, I can't live with him. This terrible, terrible thing. And the preacher in his wisdom said, well, have you tried to heap coals of fire on his head? She said, no, but I poured hot coffee on him. Is that just as good? Sometimes we don't quite understand what we're talking about. Giving up something that maybe is legal. Giving up something that is lawful. And at the same time, following a deeper principle. In a different relationship, deeper inside with the Lord. Let me say this. As churches and Christians, sometimes we have collateral damage with our kids. I've known some kids that was in witness to church fights, and it ruined them for life. Yeah. By the way, mom and dad, when they witness your fighting, it don't do them any good either. Right. And especially if you are a Christian. But I've known some kids that sat in church and heard people yelling at each other and bad things, doing bad things to each other, and it ruined the kid for the life concerning walking for God. I know a good preacher right now, he overcome it. But I remember when he was a teenager what he said. He's a little younger than me, but he's a great preacher. If I called his name, half this auditorium would know it, and doing a great job for God. But his testimony was, as his dad pastored little churches here and there, and he saw the fighting over nothing, and most of the time it is over nothing. I remember him saying, I decided I wouldn't be a Baptist anymore. If the Baptists just fought, I'd see if I could find a church that didn't fight. Then he said, I just got to the place I wanted to give up and quit. But God got a hold of him, and he's a great preacher for the Lord. But it liked to ruin him. Collateral damage. Ricochet. Spin off. And the damage that it does